Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon. It's Thursday, the 24th of November 2011. Thank you very much for joining me on the line today. Today we've got a big show for you. We're going to kick it off with our very own Doug Pollard from the Rainbow Report on Fridays here on Joy. Doug's going to join us to discuss further the hoo-ha that has been created following Sydney Mardi Gras announcing last week that they're going to drop the gay and lesbian. Now, when I spoke to Matt Ackerson last week from samesame.com.au, I thought it was all well and good. I thought it was okay, you know, that's entirely their idea is to, you know, give it a remake and do whatever they want with it. Well, apparently the community is up in arms in Sydney, and it's nice to see that they're actually engaged for once. We'll also have a chat to the man who scooped the pool last night at the Eros Shine Awards. He is a member of our community. We'll explore just what it is that he won last night at the gala event that was held here in Melbourne for the adult industry. Today we'll also have a chat to Sasha Haddon. Now, he's a young man that is in town trying to raise funds and awareness of a movie project that he has on the cards. I spoke to him exactly 12 months ago, interestingly. Yesterday he caught up with Father Bob, and I was invited in on that conversation, and Father Bob delivered as he always does. If we get a chance, I will also play an interview I did with Dina Bonozzo. Now, she is a star from Packed to the Rafters. She was at the gala event last night, the Shine Awards, and Vasco Maier will be joining us on the line today too. Of course, the show is nothing without you, so please contribute to the program. Maybe you could let us know what you think of the Sydney Mardi Gras dropping the gay and lesbian part of their name. This is how you get in contact with us.
Call Joy. 1-300-JOY-949. SMS.
0427-JOY-949. Email.
On air at joy.org.au.
You want a mail? Okay.
Well, yesterday, here in Melbourne, Midsummer Carnival launched their 2012 program. It was a packed event. The community was out in force. And for about an hour and a half, we were entertained, fed, and we were engaged and enrolled into what Midsummer 2012 will be all about. It was a great community event, and it's something that Sydney, I'm sure, would have loved to have had at the launch of their Sydney Mardi Gras for 2012 last week. Well, Matt Ackerson joined us last week to talk about it and told us who some of the superstars will be coming out to entertain our community in 2012. I thought it was a done deal and all was well and good. Doug Pollard disagrees. He joins us on the line. Doug, welcome.
Good afternoon, Dean. Good afternoon, everyone.
Doug, why is the community in Sydney so pissed off with the dropping of the gay and lesbian part of the name?
Well, I think it's not everybody that's pissed off about it. It's exposed a generational divide. I think it's fair to say that the younger generation are broadly on board with this, and the older generation, such as yours, truly are not. Now, I do get where they're coming from. You know, when I was editor of Melbourne Star, we changed our masthead and shrank GLBTIQ down to just gay and lesbian, and didn't that cause a ruckus in the community here? But that alphabet soup is getting very unwieldy. You know, we seem to be adding more and more letters all the time. Actually, I think it might be better to call it fruit salad. It's kind of politer than alphabet soup, I think.
Yes.
And Mardi Gras is doing the same thing. You know, they want a neater, sharper title that looks better on the masthead and everything else. And I get all that. You know, it's a sensible commercial decision in one sense. But the problem is that Mardi Gras isn't just Mardi Gras. Sydney doesn't have a Pride March. Sydney has Pride March and Mardi Gras in one, and clearly they are, and have for some time, privileged the Mardi Gras element over the Pride element. And if you listen to what the chair, Peter Ernson, said, he said, he seemed to say that it wouldn't be like a Pride March in future. He said, we would love to see people who share our values but never thought they would be in the parade to approach us and share their ideas. There will always be room for a great float which will both entertain and bring people together. So that seems to imply that they're looking for floats that are not from the GLBTIQ community. And then he goes on to say, and this is where I think he heads off completely into La La Land, we hope to turn Sydney Mardi Gras into an even bigger civic event right up there with Rio and the other world's great carnivals. Well, you know, if you've seen Rio and you compare that to Sydney, Sydney's a tacky sort of Mumba-style event. You know, that's not a big thing like Rio. So,
but it is the largest event of its kind for our community worldwide.
It is. But, you know, everything he said seemed to be, you know, well, this used to be about gay pride, but in future, well, maybe not so much.
Well, hang on a minute. It was never about gay pride. Mardi Gras was a protest.
Yes.
That was never about gay pride. It was a protest political statement. Gay pride is a celebration. Mardi Gras has always been a protest.
Yeah, but you see, that's what I think's gone wrong here. I think Mardi Gras has turned into nothing more than a celebration and has lost its protest element. It used to do some wonderfully witty political things. I mean, who can ever forget the Imelda Marcos shoes clattering down Oxford Street? If you saw that.
Or the Pauline Hanson paper mache head.
Yeah, you know, and that was always like the main element of it. But it still seems now to me that they're downplaying that side of things, they're playing up the celebration side of things, and they're losing the protest element. I mean, there was that speech that, what's his name, Brendan McLean, the musician, the young man, obviously, you know, from the younger generation, and he was talking about older gays and lesbians, and he was saying, well, you know, thanks for your sacrifices, and the Mardi Gras must reflect all that past, celebrating the future but being thankful for the politics and history. And then he completely went off into La La Land with all this stuff about infinite love, you know, being bigger than Bob Catter's hat, sharper than Miranda Devine's pen, louder than Jim Wallace, blah 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 blah. Well, you know, whoop-de-doo, and the Care Bear shall lie down with Rainbow Bright and Barney the Dinosaur and all be lovely in the land of the magic unicorn. But we don't live in that world.
Doug, what would you like to see?
You know, it's a difficult one. I think I understand why people felt excluded by just having gay and lesbian there. I also understand why they didn't want to put a whole fruit salad of letters there. I wish we could come up with a single word or two words that would just cover what we want to say here.
Doesn't queer cover it?
For me, it does, but a lot of people find the word queer offensive. And also, as somebody rather politically correct pointed out to me the other day online, queer doesn't describe a sexuality, it describes a state of mind.
One could argue that gay describes a state of mind.
Well,
not
you know, there's arguments for and against every single
indeed
side of this. But, you know, I think we have to beef up the protest element back again. I don't think we have to lose that. I mean, we live in a world where Spain's just elected a government that wants to reverse gay marriage. Parts of Russia are bringing in the law to make it illegal to say the word gay within the earshot of a minor. Uganda wants to hang us and put our friends and allies in jail, and we might end up with Tony Abbott as prime minister. know, this is not a time to give up on the protest.
Doug, this has come through from one of our listeners on 0427 569 949. One of the aims of the community is to be accepted by the mainstream and not to be viewed as the, in quotes, other. This is a great step towards that goal, is it not?
No, I don't think so. I think there are some things that will always be separate and different about us, and I think, you know, we don't want to be submerged in the mainstream to the point where we disappear, because that's when we stop being noticed and things stop being done for us and we fall back again into being overlooked and discriminated against.
But hasn't this been the juxtaposition since gay liberation began, that we want to retain our cultural integrity, but mm-hmm. we want to be included in the greater community? And therein lies this issue. We like the us and them when it works in our favour.
Yes, we do. And we do accept people to come along and join in Mardi Gras, whatever their sexuality. But we don't have to remove the words gay and lesbian from it to do that. I mean, if they're uncomfortable about coming along and joining in a Sydney gay and lesbian Mardi Gras, then they're not really our supporters to begin with, are they?
Therein lies a question, Doug. We'll leave that to our listeners. Now,
there is one other thing I'd like to raise here, too. There is a nasty streak of ageism coming through all this. There is a certain element from some of the younger people that I've heard and seen writing and talking about this online of kind of patting people like me on the head and saying, there, dears, you've had your day. Toddle off back to the nursing home and let us look after you. Look, here's a free pack of incontinence pads from our sponsors, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's all up to us now. You've had your day kind of thing. And that, there's been that kind of streak running through it, and I think that's something that we need to look at.
The event itself is rapidly becoming commercialised,
yes.
/ irrelevant. You point out that there was a major furniture manufacturing company that in fact hired models to be on its float that really were actors and not members of the community.
Yeah, but I should say in all fairness that on the other side of the coin, ANZ, for example, let's call them by their real name, put up a float which was a sponsored corporate float, and that was actually celebrating their own GLBTI employees.
Indeed, so, Qantas have done the same.
And Qantas have done the same. You're talking about IKEA, who hired people, and I think, you know, I don't know why they did that particularly.
Surely there's enough in their staff ranks to...
Well, IKEA, I would have thought so, yeah. But, you know, who knows? Perhaps all the queers left and went to work for Hardly Normals. But... It's just crazy, the idea of, you know, why I just hate the idea of going down that corporate route where we are in danger of having a situation where there is nothing particularly gay happening in the parade. It's all a word from our sponsors and, you know, flinging out little goodie bags and things.
You'll be talking about this further tomorrow on the Rainbow Report, no doubt?
I will. In fact, I've got Brendan McLean, the gentleman I referred to, who's very, very pro the change, and as I say, one of the younger generation. I wanted to give him a fair crack of the whip, so he's going to be on the show tomorrow.
I found his writing in Southern Star, I think it was, online. Mm-hmm. I personally found it quite moving. I thought he managed to capture it quite well, and I didn't find it patronising towards the older members of the community. You did.
I do a little, yes, I did, but maybe I'm just being oversensitive.
Doug Pollard, our Rainbow reporter. Catch him tomorrow from midday on Joy 94.9. Thank you for joining us, Doug.
Yeah, thank you, and I'll see you tomorrow.
And we'd love to hear from you. We want to know what you think about Sydney Mardi Gras dropping the gay and lesbian. Let us know. This is how you get in contact with us.
Call Joy.
1300 Joy 949. SMS 0427 Joy 949. Email on air at joy.org.au. You want a man?
Last night I attended the Eros Shine Awards, where I caught up with star of stage and screen, Dina Panozzo. She is a woman who appears reasonably regularly on Packed to the Rafters, but she is also in a new movie titled Black and White and Sex. This is Dina Panozzo. Dina, you not only are you a big star in Packed to the Rafters on Channel 7, but you're also a part of Black and White and Sex. Tell us a little bit about this extraordinary film.
Well, it's a very beautiful film made, written and directed by John Winter, who is quite a, you know, hefty kind of filmmaker, got a lot of things under his belt. And there's six of us playing the one fabulous whore, or sex worker called Angie. I played the dominatrix part of her. And it's a way of presenting sort of different facets of women and sex, if you know what I mean.
So the character itself is one character?
It's one character, and there are six sides to her. And there's, you know, and I should say six, eight. What do you mean six? Eight. I've had too much champagne. Eight. And the thing about the eight is that we're all different ages, sizes, shapes, ethnicities.
Talents.
Talent. Oh, well, you know, we're all big talents. And they are actually eight knockout performances already been written up. They're fabulous.
Now, we saw a little trailer here, and I'm sure that's available on YouTube, but what I gathered from that trailer was that not only are the acting of each of those roles extraordinary, and it really is a credit to our Australian talent, but it also highlighted some of the, I guess, dualities that lay within the sex industry, and they're often conceived as being things that are negative, but they're really a survival mechanism for those that work in that industry.
Well, I just think what I said on stage there, which people were eating through, but anyway, what I said on stage there, because I couldn't strip tease. I wished I'd had a strip tease for them up there or something. Anyway, but what I'd said is this is a sex-positive film. It is very rare to see a mainstream film talking about a sex worker and sexuality in a positive way. This is about a sex worker who chooses it. It's her job. She loves it. So what? The interviewer, a male, is doing a documentary, so it's a very interesting, you know, concept, doing a documentary about this sex worker, and he's moralising throughout the whole film. And so what we're revealed, you know, through the film is it's not her problem, it's his problem. And yes, it's true, sorry, that the sex industry has, you know, there's sex slaves, there's little kids on the streets, there's all. And I think mainstream and, you know, conservative people, oops, sorry, might think, I'm a mother with a child, and might think all prostitution is, you know, poor people on drugs with a pimp. This film is not that. That's not what it is. This is what tonight's about too. Do you know what I mean? People choose to live different ways and to work. And by the way, I played the dominatrix in the movie, and I must say, I think not only do you get to act out and have different actors all the time with you, you get better paid, I think.
Oh, now the truth comes out.
I was very impressed with dominatrixes, very impressed, very. Because it's not the sex act, you understand?
Indeed, in fact, more often than not, they don't have sex.
It's not. It's really through the mind. It's literally acting out. And you can go any way you want with it.
And you're in control. Absolutely. Which is an interesting part of this whole thing about those that sell themselves for sex. Mm. The mainstream would have us believe that it's about them submitting to the constructs of what dominant male sexuality is all about.
That's right.
You and I both know that that's not the case.
No, not at all. In fact, I'm very glad that I did lots of research, and I kind of fell in love with Japanese dominatrixes, I have to say. Because because the Japanese are amazing. Do you know the Japanese, like, they don't wear their sexuality out front that much. Do you know, we kind of have to fight for our rights and things like this in our Western culture. The Japanese just fucking do it. Like, that, you know, this girl, my research was on this fabulous girl who was a rock star, and she loved to be a dominatrix. And she specialised in ropes, and it's an ancient art. She tied them up. You know, she might have burnt them or hit them or, but you know, you just tie them up in painful positions and then prance around them and torture
them. The whole time she was in control.
Yeah. And it was a beautiful piece of art. And I've also seen some fairly dowdy and pretty yucky dominatrixes. acts like, you know, babies who want to poo their pants. But I was working with that more, that edgier place, which is like performance art, really, to do with sex and the body. And I found a health about it. Because to play out, because humans, let's face it, we've got our little dirty bits, our fabulous black bits, our little sexy bits.
It's called life.
Absolutely. And indeed, to play it out in sexuality where people respect each other in the end. Sorry, I'm talking from dominatrix point. No, it's a very, very, very healthy thing to do.
Dina, for you, that type of role, which is so removed from what you do on television, does it add the stimulus for you as an actor?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm on Packed to the Rafters, and I love being on Packed to the Rafters. I'm not on it enough, but when I'm on it, they give me huge amounts of stuff to do, and I get to play a little Lucille Ball version of a great Greek kind of. I play like a Greek trash, you know, fabulous wog trash. I play her. She's fabulous. I play her like a drag queen.
Yeah.
Little do they know, but I do. But you know, to be asked to play something in a film that's very cinema verite, really, because we really, really did research this, talk. You know, we talked to Fiona, head of the sex party, a lot, and we really became involved with what does it mean to be a sex worker. It was beautiful. For me, it's why I like being an actor, you know.
The movie is a black and white and sex, and it has featured in a number of film festivals, and I believe it's going to feature in the Melbourne Film Festival next year. Is that right?
Well, I don't know, but our director, John Winter's in India. He's a big player. He did Rabbit Proof Fence and all those things, John, and this is his first foray into writing, so we're really happy for him. But listen, it was a sellout at the Sydney Film Festival, and it was a sellout at the Brisbane International Film Festival, and it's at the Melbourne Sexy Film Festival, which starts in a few weeks' time, which I hear is really shit hot, this little festival down in St Kilda.
Well, that's where our listeners can go and see it. Check it out, Black and White and Sex. Dina Panozzo.
Oh, darling, he's so lovely trying it like that. Dina Panozzo, thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us on Joy.
Ciao.
Broadcasting throughout Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming live around the world at joy.org.au. You are on the line with Dean Beck, and you can follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on Air. You have been SMSing thick and fast. Thank you very, very much. This one has come through from Wayne saying, I am so glad that the gay and lesbian has been dropped from the title of Sydney Mardi Gras. I wish we could also drop this whole LGBTIQ reference, as it makes a minority group even more secular. Why we don't call it the Sydney alphabet Mardi Gras? That would make everyone happier, says Wayne. Now, thank you very much for that, Wayne. You can let us know what you think too, 0427569949. Now, we just had a listen to Dina Panozzo from Black and White and Sex. She was at the Eros Shine Awards last night. One other man who was at the Eros Shine Awards last night and happened to scoop the pool, I must say, is BJ from Eagle Leather. Congratulations, BJ.
Thanks, Dean. It was an incredible night. It was well worth hiring a suit for. I was when they told me it was black tie, I'm thinking, oh no, I've only got one suit, and that's a wedding / funeral / special occasion suit. So it was well worth it in the end.
Now, you weren't going to go last night, but you must have had some idea when the organisers phoned you up and said, I think it best be that you are there. You scooped four awards. That's Tell us right. what they were.
So there was two awards for Eagle Leather and then two individual awards. The two awards for Eagle Leather was Best Adult Independent Store, which was that's an incredible award for us, which we're really, really proud of.
And these are national awards, might add.
Australian awards, yeah, an Australian Adult Industry Award. We also got Best Educational Program, And I got Best Master, as well as I also got Best Sex Educator as well.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is just extraordinary that not only, well, I mean, you are very good at what you do, I'll give you that, but for these awards to be won by a niche store within the adult market, I think is quite extraordinary. So
exactly, and that's I wasn't expecting it. You know, I think it's fantastic. I've seen these adult industry awards in the past, and a lot of times they'll go to big chain stores, or you know, they'll go to just you can kind of see like behind it and which companies are getting it, and you think to yourself, okay, a store like ours doesn't have a chance, or a store like ours in our community doesn't have a chance. But their Offshine Awards, that was, you know, it was really, really surprising. I'm really happy.
Well, all power to you. Congratulations, BJ. Thank you for joining us on the line today.
No worries. Thank you, Dean. Take care, mate.
That's BJ from Eagle Leather. Scooping the pull, 4 awards at the Year Offshine Awards last night to be congratulated, and a very deserving winner. Speaking of winners,
yes, regurgitating the dross entertainment style, Dean.
It is the one and only Vasco Meyer. Thank you for joining us today.
And thank you for having me. Again, an undiluted pleasure.
Now, what have we got on today? Oh, now, this is an interesting story.
Yes.
What is going on out there in the wide world?
Can you hear something? I can hear something.
It must be my
fans
projecting something,
because they know you're leaving soon.
Natalie Wood.
We can see him leaving the building for lunch. That's what they're saying.
Natalie Wood has been dug up.
Now, here we go. If you believe something occurred, you would be truthful. It doesn't necessarily mean it happened. It means you believe it happened. Such, Dean, is a subjective nature of truth, according to jurisprudence, LA style. Dateline, 24th November 2011. The Natalie Wood investigation. Captain's polygraph test may be worthless. Captain Dennis Deverne, Dean.
I thought polygraph tests were worthless.
No, they used to be. They used to be notoriously unreliable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now, apparently, the technology's, you know, pretty super-duper.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly. Captain Dennis Deverne, Dean, passed a polygraph exam back in 2008 to prove he was telling the truth about his memories the night that poor little Natalie Wood died. Now, specifically, let's get down into it. Robert Wagner allegedly instructed, Robert Wagner being Natalie's husband, allegedly instructed Captain Deverne not to call the Coast Guard and to cover up what really happened on the boat. Now, the polygraph test may be worthless because, according to the good captain's own admission, he was tanked on scotch and wine the night that Natalie disappeared into the dark waters off Catalina Island and into Hollywood conspiracy theory heaven. So, and there's a lot of other interesting elements around this, Dean.
Now, it's 30 years, though.
It's 30...
What can they hope to resurrect in that time?
It's... The only reason that they would open up a case after 30 years and call it a murder investigation is because, obviously, evidence has been presented that indicates that Natalie didn't just decide to go and grab a couple of sundaes at the local deli that night. In fact, she was murdered.
Allegedly.
Now, what prompted this is this woman's been writing this book and campaigning this thing for about 25 years, and she basically got all her written transcribed statements from witnesses, bundled them up and shoved them at the LA police. And there was enough evidence there to say, hey, there's something wrong. Christopher Walken has allegedly hired a top-shelf lawyer and is still refusing to say anything. And the police have come out in response to a question, do you think, does the force think Robert Wagner killed his wife? And they've said no. However, they've left it open-ended. We may have to bring him in for questioning and stuff like that. Now, another interesting fact to the story was a woman who was on a yacht nearby heard for 20 minutes the screams of help and stuff like that. And you know, the obvious question, why didn't you do anything to help? She said, well, our dinghy wasn't working. It had a hole in it. Otherwise, I would have jumped in it and had a look. We didn't have a shore light to hunt for her. But the interesting thing is, then she says, but I could hear a drunken man's voice slurring, saying, oh, we'll get you, we'll come and get you, and they never came to get them. And over the years, she's received little notes under her door, Dean, surreptitiously placed, saying, keep your mouth shut about that day, otherwise you'll be dead, mate.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Well, there's no allegedly about it. She's kept the notes. So, So... keep an eye on that one.
Now, we must apologise for any background noise that you might be hearing. apparently, the nurses are rioting in the streets of Melbourne, just to prove we are live at 9 minutes to one. The nurses are seeing red as we speak up and down the streets of our fair city.
Well, I hope they get their pay rise because God knows they deserve it. Now, officials at Paramount Pictures confirm, Dean, unfortunately, a crew member working on the set of G.I. Joe 2 Retaliation died yesterday after an accident on the New Orleans set. The man
on
was
set.
On set. He was working on a high-powered scissor lift, you know those things, when the machine tipped over and the man sustained fatal injuries. So another picture with people dying all over the place.
The last one I remember was the Twilight Zone movie with the helicopter.
Yeah, that's right.
Inside.
That's right.
In a building.
Mm.
How many times do you see helicopters inside buildings and then wonder why they don't work?
Well, being the media the media pros that we are, we all know it's about the bottom line. Dollars, dollars, dollars. So if they can do something cheaply, they'll do it. Too bad that a minion gets killed in the process. Doesn't matter. There are plenty of others.
The other one now, was it? Did he die on set? Yes, he did. Black Crow, Lee, son of Bruce. Mm.
That's right.
Yes.
Shot with a bullet.
In a real gun on set.
That's right.
Why was that?
And then they had terrible problems. Well, who knows? They had another mystery. Well covered
up. We replaced the blanks with real bullets.
I know, he's dead. Oh, well, we'll just have to cobble together the movie, much like they did with Natalie, with Brainstorm. That was the movie that she was filming with Christopher Walken. And they hadn't finished, principal photography for her, so there was urgent rewrites and whatnot, and yes, oh well.
Now, we've had this, dare I say it, this message has come through. Carl Sanderlands is pure bogan, cashed up crap.
Oh.
It's an SMS, it's not my own opinion, whether I agree or not is irrelevant. Please, 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 Dean, do not go there. Sorry, Vasco, bring it on.
Now listen, gentle viewers, listeners. Well, you may be looking at the radio, you may be viewers, who can say. It may be misconstrued that radio luminary, media legend and best friend of homophobic B-lister...
That is stretching it a bit far,
I'm being kind. Brian McFadden, one Carl Sanderlands, could be considered a touch misogynistic, another hapless human of the female sex. Copped Carl's latest on-air brain snap for daring, Dean, to negatively critique his and Jackie O's new television show that aired this week on Network 7. The owners of 2Day FM are feeling the pressure after two major sponsors pulled out from Carl's top-rating breakfast show, following Sanderlands calling a news.com.au entertainment journalist a fat slag, and there's no allegedly about that. He did that. Carl appeared to be miffed, Dean, about the bad rap from the journalist, threatening to hunt her down, and further offered comment, not in a nice way, about said journalist's hair and breasts. Holden, one of the sponsors involved, immediately issued post-tirade the following statement. We believe the show is no longer in line with Holden's core values, and as a result, we have taken action to withdraw our sponsorship of the program, effective immediately. immediately.
I think that statement went on to say a little further, the only fat slag that we consider on air is that of Kyle Sandilands.
Oh, he's just a naughty boy. But, you know, the things that stick with me, this isn't the first time that Mr. Grumpy Bear Kyle has had a go at a female using nasty and hateful comments that may well be interpreted as misogynistic. Just think back, listener, to Kyle's cruelly unempathetic recent on-air interview conducted with an adolescent rape victim and the tears before bedtime that caused.
Yeah, nothing funny about that one.
I can't help feeling it's a bit creepy that television and radio tumour baby juggling Jackie O was only able to manage a few chuckles and a sprinkling of "Oh, Kyle" during her on-air partner's diatribe, thereby, Dean, enabling Kyle in his rant. And finally, Mr. Sandilands was instructed by his employers to issue an immediate on-air apology when one takes the time to review the thrust of this mandatory apology. It sounds more like an arrogant justification of his women-hating ways. The sad reality, gentle listener, of commercial media is that the bottom line is inevitably always about ratings dollars. And this time, if the figures crunch in Kyle's favour, don't expect too much regarding fair play consequences coming home to roost for Kyle and Jackie O anytime soon.
Vasco Meyer, thank you for joining us on the line today. Great to have you back.
It's a pleasure. Let's go join the nurses.
Very big thank you to all of the wonderful SMSs that have come through today. This one says, within a sociological context, it's about being comfortable with your own identity and that of the wider community. It's a careful balancing act that the other groups have done quite well. Maybe Doug Pollard is concerned that there is a dumbing down with each generation, and that's also a valid argument. Thank you very much to that person. We also have for you this one that says, there seems to be a dangerous ideology amongst some listeners that acceptance can only be achieved through assimilation. No one should have to lose or hide a part of their culture to be accepted by the dominant mainstream. Sam, thank you very much for that. Oh, and this is a nice one to finish on. Dean, you should get a gig on commercial television. Thank you very much, and thank you for appreciating my wit and humour. Very few do. A very big thank you to BJ from Eagle Leather, to Vasco Meyer, to Sasha Haddon, and to our very own Doug Pollard, who you can catch tomorrow from midday with the Rainbow Report. I've been Dean Beck today. I might even be that later tonight when I'm with Andrew the Apprentice on Hide and Seek from 9 p.m. Till then, you keep well, take care. Bye for now.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Kylie Minogue, also known as Kylie from Camberwell.
Hey, it's Richard Reed.
Hey, this is Winter Gordon.
Hi, Matt Preston from MasterChef.
What's up, party people? It's the legendary DJ Spinderella.
Hey there, I'm Adam Lambert.
Hello, this is Kate Sobrano.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Alexandra Burke. This is Katie Noonan.
Hi, this is Francois Sagat.
Hello, this is Katie Lang.
G'day, I'm Barry Bissell.
Hello, this is Tina Arena.
Hi, this is Paris Wells.
Hi, I'm Cindy Lauper.
Hi, this is Tim Campbell.
Hi, this is Sear.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Morosi.
Hey, I'm Darren Hayes.
Hi, I'm Jade Leonard.
Hi, I'm Chaka Khan.
Hi, this is Kathy Freeman.
Hi, I'm Daniel Kowalski.
Hey, this is Jane Lynch, and you're listening to Australia's gay and lesbian radio station.
Hey, everybody, this is Chris Willis.
Put your hands up
for Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station.
All night and day long, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLB TIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.